Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cinema Gyms. And as always, I'm your host, the Admirable Admiral. And always, we're at a video store somewhere in your hometown, so come find us. Yes, video stores still exist. And of course, we have the Honorable Tesla and the Fantastic Miss Frida. The Fantastic Miss Frida's taking a nap because she really got into the music of this review that we're about to do. But maybe we might hear Alexander Hamilton when the Honorable Tesla decides to drink like a camel. But of course, the very disembodied laugh is, of course, the illustrious Buttmeister himself.
I'm taking this horsepower razor and covered in blood stains. Hi guys, this is gonna be a fun one. I've been ready for this for a while.
Why don't you tell the listeners what we do here?
Welcome back to Cinema Gems. We're another podcast that talks about mostly movies, sometimes TV shows, video games, in today's case, a musical that is also now a movie on Disney Plus. We're talking about Hamilton! And I'm so ready. I have been waiting for this for a long time. Let me give a little bit of context, because I think the Admiral and I are coming from two different places in terms of attachment to this this piece of art, I'm going to call it. I've been following Hamilton religiously since about 2015 when the soundtrack came out, and I've listened to the soundtrack backwards and forwards. And essentially, you can do that, basically doing a theater of the mind, because the soundtrack
is... Like what we do here?
Essentially, it is the music, it is the show. There's no dialogue in between. There's hardly any dialogue in between the songs, that the songs are the show. So you can just play theater of the mind that way. That being said, unless you are fortunate enough to have been able to either go to New York and see the original Broadway cast, or go see it when it tours, I will say, even when it tours, it is near impossible to get a ticket and go see it, and I'm genuinely jealous of people who have been able to. Up until now, I have not seen this show. And now I've seen it 7 times, so let's talk about it.
But for the listeners out there that are looking at their phone and going, wait, we have to acknowledge something. This is the 250th episode of Cinema Gems.
Yes.
And of course, what a better way to pick to choose?
I believe this is also, we're also coming up on the, what is it, death date?
The death date of Hamilton.
Of Alexander Hamilton.
It happens... Listen, we're recording this early, so it happens on the...
July... I'm blanking on it.
12th?
We'll put it in the notes of the episode.
12th is... the 12th is the 300th?
Basically, yeah. Right around when this is going to release is...
The week that this is releasing is the week that we're observing for Alexander Hamilton's death week.
So I thought the timing... We thought the timing of this was very...
Patron actually came up with the idea, so let's give her credit.
Yeah, Patron came up with that idea. Thank you, Patron. Didn't Patron get to see this live when it came down here?
Yes.
I'm very jealous. Let me ask you, Admiral, what is your experience? What is your history with this music?
I love the music. I think the music is great. I personally wish people...
How green were you going into watching it on Disney Plus?
I knew like 90% of the songs.
Okay.
I knew when they started. I knew the characters. Yeah. I'd never seen any video of.
Okay.
Basically went in theater mind. So I have a preference that I need to preface this before we start.
Sure.
This is a great show.
Yes.
People need to stop hyping it up and let people just go watch it.
And that's essentially what I've been doing, is anyone who asks about it, I'll just tell them, watch it, see for yourself, I don't want to influence your opinion either way.
And that's what I have to say about it. I'm not saying it's bad, I'm not saying it's horrible, just don't blow it out of proportion, and when people go watch, they're like, that's it?
Right, don't build people's expectations.
Don't episode one it!
Right, it's the mistake that we make as Star Wars fans all the time, and myself as a Lord of the Rings fan all the time, going, these are the best movies of all time, and then someone who maybe doesn't see it the same way I do gets into it, and they're like, it's okay. Like, set real expectations for people, and then let them watch it and figure out that it's the best show ever made.
July 12th.
Cool.
July 12th, 1804 is when he died. And so this will be the 200th, I'm sorry, 300th, and no, 220.
So math? Hamilton.
GLaDOS? Math?
Give me the year.
1804.
Thank you. Give me a moment.
So while they're figuring out math, we're going to get into this. Hamilton is the...
But that's my only, that's the only thing I have to say bad about this.
216th
death anniversary of Alexander Hamilton himself. That's the only thing I have to say bad about this show, is that if people would just let people watch it...
Yeah.
That's fine.
And we're not trying to overhype it here. That being said...
The spectacle itself...
The emotions that I felt the first time watching this on Disney Plus was like the first time I saw Force Awakens in theaters. I cried the entire damn way through. It was the catharsis of, we finally have it. It's here. I never thought I was going to be able to see this for real. I mean, like, this is one step away from for real. This is the one step away from actually being in the room where it happens. That being said, there are shots in this that you will never see as an audience member.
I did love the spectacle of the stage itself with the turning...
The turntables. Yes.
I absolutely loved that. I thought that was amazing. I was like,
what, that's a custom-built stage for that theater. And they actually made a second one for the rehearsal room.
Really?
So, yes. Real quick, before we get into the specifics of this musical and why it's so freaking awesome, for anyone completely confused right now, before you pause us and go watch it, let me just give a very brief kind of summary synopsis of this. This is a tale of the life and times of Alexander Hamilton, who is an immigrant from the Caribbean who wrote his way out of destitution and got his way over to New York City, got his start in the Revolutionary War, became George Washington's right-hand man, had beef with every other founding father, including John Adams. I swear, the subtitle for this show should be Alexander Hamilton or Why Everyone Hates John Adams.
Oh no, Tesla. He's okay.
He
just got a hairball, even though he's part cat.
This musical is told entirely through the style of hip hop and R&B, because, as Lin-Manuel Miranda will put it, the story of an immigrant rising up the ranks and finding his place in the new world is the story of hip hop. Yeah. The story of revolution, of this world is fucked up and we have to change it. That is the story of hip hop.
Lyrically, hip-hop is crucial to this because of how much not only Hamilton wrote, but how much he says. Lyrically, you need the hip-hop because it not only fits in the argumentative state of the cabinet meetings, but just lyrically, how much information you have to get out. It's vital.
So do we want to do a synopsis of the show? Do we want to run down?
Didn't you just do that?
Well, no, I gave a bare bones synopsis. So now, any of our listeners who haven't already watched Hamilton on Disney Plus, pause us, go watch Hamilton, and come back.
But before we go any further, we're not going to hold off on any spoilers. The show has been out for what, 5 years?
Yeah, the show is essentially, the album has been out for about 5 years.
The show has been
out for
4. That
being said, there's a small handful of things that you don't hear in the album that you see on the live show.
And also...
that I'm not going to talk about here.
It's history.
It's history. And
the opening song starts with Burr admitting, "I shot him."
Yeah.
Yeah. This is history.
The Titanic,
this is all things.
We all know how it ends.
These
it's
are
how
all
do
things
we get there?
That happened.
Yeah.
And there are several moments in the musical where you can tell from the writing the frustration of, we got nothing. We got nothing. Eliza Hamilton burned everything, every piece of evidence that could help make Hamilton look better after he shot himself in the foot. We don't know what happened in the room where it happened. There are so many moments in this where he's grasping at straws trying to find what the hell happened here, and all he can write is, no one knows what happened in the room where it happened.
Do you have a favorite character and a favorite song?
That's a bit of a loaded question.
I like the second act better than the first act.
I agree. Kind of. George Washington. George Washington and
Lafayette.
Lafayette's just fucking great. My favorite song in the first act is Wait For It.
It's a good one.
My favorite song in the second act is, damn it, what is Washington's song? What is Washington? One last time.
Yeah.
One last time.
My favorite character is King George.
That makes sense.
Can I say my favorite character is the,
Hercules Mulligan?
No.
No?
Is the ensemble member. Death. The bullet.
That is a, that... I actually,
down my favorite.
I love the aspect of that, mainly because you get to see, like, the way he's, like, thinking about it. It's slowly coming. And that's what I like most about able to see it. And yes. Actually, it's like, it makes more sense.
It gives so much more context to the things we've been listening to.
I never understood the song.
Do you have Theodosia?
I never understood that until I realized it's Burr and Hamilton singing about it. Like, I never
about
realized it. Until you can see it, you can visualize it.
Yeah. Because because he got shot not far from where his son died.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But the really interesting with the bullet, she was the first character to die from espionage, from King George. And after that point, she becomes the whisperer, the bringer of death. She always catches the bullet. She's always the action of the bullet. But you notice she's one of the ensemble members that Philip talks to before...
He literally flirts with death.
He flirts with death.
Wow. I didn't even notice that.
She is the bringer of death. She's the one that helps John Lawrence when they're talking about...
In the Battle of Yorktown.
Yes, in the Battle of Yorktown. And then the next thing you know, she shakes his hand. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let But My Show get into it. Because there is a scene specifically, even singing a scene, that you don't get on the soundtrack.
Oh, that song is not in the soundtrack.
At all.
That little reprise. The Story of Tonight reprise after the Battle of Yorktown when Eliza is reading Lawrence's letter to Hamilton.
That's not on the soundtrack. You only knew about that if you saw it live.
Oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, King George is my favorite.
I know the action in the street is exciting, but geez, between all the bleeding and fighting them and reading and writing, we need to handle our financial situation. Are we a nation of states? What's the state of our nation? I pass patiently waiting. I'm passionately smashing every expectation, every action and act of creation. I'm laughing in the face of casualties and sorrow. For the first time, I'm thinking past tomorrow. That's my favorite part of the show.
Awesome. Wow.
I was chosen for the Constitution.
Yes, that's also another brilliant part. The little snap. Yes.
I also love that King George shits on John Adams.
Yes.
It's like I was
nobody
like,
likes
wait, John Adams
spoke to me.
They'll eat him alive.
Go.
Which, by the way, that I knew that was the guy from Mindhunter. And then you also told me that was Kristoff.
He's Kristoff in both Frozen movies. His name is Jonathan Groff, a.k.a. Groff Sauce.
Which is apparently Tesla's name when I first got him was Kristoff.
Oh,
Tesla's
good Tesla.
He's like, oh no.
Good boy.
He's like, okay.
Good boy, Tesla. Yeah. Sorry. Hi, listeners. We're totally paying attention
and
to what
I also
we're
did
doing.
Like at the beginning when King George was like, hi, and welcome to my show.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like just the added on of that, I was like, all right, cool. I enjoyed, and I also noticed that he was the only white person in the entire cast.
And that is continued,
that's
whether it was the original cast, the touring cast, Chicago, New Orleans, Puerto Rico, does not matter. King George will forever always be the only white
good,
because
that's how it should be.
Yes.
It
and that's
be.
The point of this, is that this is, it's, oh, God. So much.
If I was able to play a character, it would be King George. That would literally be King George. That would be the only character I would
play. Oh, I'd want to play Hercules Mulligan so bad, but I know I can't.
I like I said, I like the first act mainly because it's history-wise, and the second act is more close history, more stuff that I don't know that much about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think I like the second act better, is because of that reason. Because it's just rumors and all speculations in the history books. But the first act is just strictly...
Straight Revolutionary War.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's great. I enjoy that. I know all about that. I want to get to the other part.
Yeah. And it's like but Maestro mentioned earlier, it's really interesting realizing in the lyrics that Lynn has written, you really don't know what happened in the room with Jefferson, Madison, and Hamilton. We literally do not know. Nobody else was there. We can say what Thomas said, and we can say what Alexander said, but we don't know.
Yeah.
Same with the letters that Eliza burned. We don't know how he wooed her, how he won her over, and we never will. She took that part away.
She took that to her grave.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a few of my favorite little things in this show?
No, but I have a feeling you're going to do anyway.
I'm going to. So, Lynn snuck a few, first off, he snuck a few references to the Scottish play.
Oh.
In here.
No, when I watched this, my first thing was like, whoa. Patron's like, well, I was like, pause it. I was like, so it's an Americanized version of well, we can't say it because it's theater of the mind.
The Scottish play.
And she's just like, yeah, I was like, that's why I like it so much, because that's my favorite
now,
Shakespeare.
Lynn is such a theater nerd that he knows the loophole to that superstition, and that you can mention the name if it is in direct reference to the character,
yep.
Not the play.
Yes. The only way that name can be said in a theater is if you're performing it.
Or you're directly referencing the character, not the play.
Yes.
He also referenced Gilbert and Sullivan a little bit. Can I be real a second? For just a millisecond? Let down my guard and tell the people how I feel a second? Yo, I'm the model of a modern major general, the venerated Virginian veteran whose men are all lining up. That's a reference to, I am the very model of a modern major general. The da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah.
From Animaniacs.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Wacko. Or Yakko. No, that's Yakko.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Wacko's better, though. But that's just...
I agree.
I mean, see, he's right over there. Wacko.
When are you, me, and GLaDOS going to do a Yakko, Wacko, and Dot thing?
Well, then who's going to be
Yakko,
Hello Nurse?
Yakko, Wacko, Dot.
Whoa.
You're the tall one.
Wacko, bro.
No.
Wacko. I pull off hats better than you.
Actually, this is true. Yeah.
GLaDOS is staying out of this. GLaDOS is not. No. Not touching this
so
one.
If you're Dot, then Patron has to be Hello Nurse.
Much more fitting?
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Because if you hear about the song about Hello Nurse, she's not just beauty. She's actually more brains than beauty. And
right.
That's what I love most about the song, is that it's like, she's not just a beautiful woman. She's also all these other things, but she's also beautiful too.
That being said, I'm only comfortable saying, Hello, Nurse, if we have consent from the person to say that. Because otherwise, it's just blatantly sexist.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to go up and go traveling ransack a hospital
person.
And just go,
Hello, Nurse.
Right.
No,
if I know the nurse, or if Patron's wearing a nurse outfit, or like whatever, then yeah. It's the only way I'll use it. Thanks. Just like if somebody wears a vest, I go, What's up, future boy? Like that.
So Hamilton.
Yeah, sure. We went back. We came through. Thanks for coming on that ride with us. It was a lot of loop-de-loops and zoop-de-zoops, but we made it through.
Any figure eights?
No.
If any listeners have made it to this point of the show, please tweet at the Rogue.
They're basically Ren right now. They're Ren from Ren and Stimpy. They're just like, eyes bulging.
Do you have a favorite line or favorite part of
I already
music?
Said it.
Wait, which one?
Awesome, wow.
Not even I'm so blue.
Stop.
Sorry, but from a perspective of somebody who did a lot of background stage work, I was most looking forward to set design, the light arrangement. Click boom is another great light cue. Stomp blue is another great
light
cue.
Did you also notice
Ben Franklin with the key and the kite?
That like, was a good one.
That beautiful freaking light cues in this.
Did you also notice that Disney cut out both F-bombs?
Well, they did. Lynn did
yes
that.
Yes and no.
So that way it could be PG-13.
Okay.
He knew about that. He tweeted about it like a week or so beforehand. Personally,
people
I don't
need to
agree
calm
with,
down about that.
I don't agree with the one that they kept. I think because you can fill in the blank with that.
You mean the one where
he was my wife? You decide it's a flaw.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one they kept. The other two are,
Hercules Mulligan, I need no introduction. When you knock me down, I get the fuck back up again. Yeah.
And, motherfucking Democratic Republicans.
And, sit down, John, you fat motherfucker. Which, if you haven't listened to the Hamilton mixtape, An Open Letter to John Adams, I'm gonna put it on after this. Okay. Watsky.
No, Patron's put it on, so I know. She's literally has a mixtape on repeat, which doesn't matter to me. But her one, but the one thing that when we watch it together is like, you can only get one line, and you can't sing the songs. Like, I have not seen it. I didn't see it live.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it live. So now that you've watched it,
yeah, she can do whatever she wants.
I can accept that. Sorry.
And that's a good format to have when you're watching this with your family. If you've seen the show, if you've listened to it, and you know it, and you're watching it with your family, and they're watching it for the first time, let them enjoy it. For the first time, try to restrain yourself. It was hard for me. It was very difficult.
But if we put it on again, she can do whatever she wants. It doesn't matter to me. I watched it. Literally, my thing was I wanted to watch it unscathed.
Yes.
Like, just watch it.
So. I will say, in terms of pure sound quality, the fact that this is a live performance and voices and harmonies and overtones sound genuinely better in this than they do in the cast recording, in the studio recording. There are voices and harmonies and overtones in this that are so rich and in tune.
Was it just Aaron Burr that was wearing the mic?
All of them had mics. Burr, you could see, because his was on the side. Everybody else's did the trick of in the hairline.
Okay, because I noticed Burr's right away.
Burr's was one of the few that was on the side, but Hamilton and Eliza all, you under noticed that okay. every now and again, you could see the okay. little peak at the
Maybe
hairline.
That's why that was such a better recording, because the mic's actually there. And then in the original studio recording, they have to tweak it. And mess with it.
I also have a theory that so we do know that this was a compilation of three cast recordings, three shows that were video recorded.
Okay.
The clips of all three were compiled. However, I think the majority of the clips they used, personal theory, I'm pretty sure it was Lynn's last show.
Really?
Which is why if he seems like he's having a hard time staying in character, if he seems a little bit more broken up than he probably should be, it's because it's his last show. Okay. The telltale piece of evidence here. I'm going to show my colors as a true Hamilton nerd. That being said, y'all can't see it, but I'm wearing a shirt that says, "No one has more resilience or matches my practical tactical brilliance."
I mean, technically it's a baseball shirt, not a t-shirt.
I didn't say t-shirt. I said shirt.
Baseball shirt.
You mean what I know. Baseball. Look, what the hell was I going to say?
I know, because I saw it. I'm besting with you. Go on. Go on.
He lost the train.
No,
he's trying to find it.
No, he didn't. It's right there. Grab it. Grab a hold.
So,
it's right there.
There are interviews in which Lynn has discussed his last show and why it was hard for him to stay in character, because there is a particular scene in which George Washington and Hamilton goes up to salute George Washington, and George Washington is not supposed to salute back. However, in his last performance, George Washington, Chris Jackson, salutes back, and it almost breaks Lynn.
Wow.
That's in this.
Okay.
There's another part, I believe it's right when he meets the Sons of Liberty in the bar after talking to Burr. When they're singing and everything, you can see Lynn smiling as Lynn and not as Hamilton, because you know what? It's difficult to explain the difference between Hamilton and Lynn, because he does both so well.
Oh, the headcanon that Lin-Manuel Miranda is Alexander Hamilton reincarnated, I 100% buy.
It's just, you can see that there are moments where the character Hamilton should not have that much happiness in him for just, it's,
as Leslie Odom Jr. put it in one of the interviews that he did recently, watching three black men be leading men on stage having a musical number with each other. It's never been done before. Nothing like this has ever been done before. Listen to interviews from Oak, who played Hercules Mulligan, Leslie Odom Jr., Burr, Daveed Diggs, who played Jefferson and Marquis de Lafayette. Like, this, something like this had never been done before. This is completely unprecedented. It is a musical about minorities, starring minorities. So,
it, I don't know why it took this long to get it done. Like, to actually do it.
And a big the point of this show are that the fights that we're fighting today, the battles that we're fighting today against racism, the arguments that we're having against ignorant, closed-minded people today are the same ignorance that the same arguments that have been had since the beginning of the country. And our country is literally founded on a pile of, look, this seems like a good short-term solution, but it's not long-term sustainable. Let the next people deal with it. We will lay a strong enough foundation. Yeah. We'll pass it on to you. That's the fights that we're fighting today have been around since the beginning of this country. That's why this show is so important right now.
There was something that people are going on around online to petition that the Hall of Presidents be turned into a Hamilton show.
Yes, I did see that petition going around.
Who would you cast as
Whoa! Nice shooting, Tex. Hold on a sec. You might blow your wad too early. But there's also another thing that somebody wrote. Why not just have the Muppets do a stage show? My thing is I'm okay with them doing the stage show. The Hall of Presidents, I feel like it needs to stay, mainly to show the excellence of the presidents themselves. You can have the stage show outside in Liberty Square.
Yeah.
And do, and actually have people dress up as Hamilton and do all kinds of, that's fine. You could even do the Muppets. That's fine. I really do not think that Gonzo is Burr material. I think he's more
Gonzo
Thomas Jefferson.
Gonzo is Hamilton.
See, I would think he's more Jefferson.
Kermit is Burr.
Ooh.
Then who's Miss Piggy?
Yeah, see, no, I'm sorry. I have to go with Kermit being being Hamilton, only because Piggy has to be Eliza.
No, Piggy has to be Angelica.
Ooh.
And then his...
Sam the Eagle has to be Thomas Jefferson.
No. Sam the Eagle is George Washington.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But see, the thing about it is that if you do Gonzo as Jefferson, it makes more sense for him being fucking crazy.
First off, Madison was the one that was really crazy. Jefferson and Washington just owned tons of slaves.
People don't know what acknowledge about Washington, though. They're like, oh, our founding father didn't own slaves.
Yes,
really?
Yes, they did.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they absolutely
did. Oh, by the way, and just because he freed them after he died, yeah, no, first off, Martha Washington owns the majority of them and then went passed on to his descendants. So, yeah, don't even come at me with it, but he freed them after he died. No, he didn't.
There are still living descendants of Thomas Jefferson's bastard children with his slaves who he raped. There are still living descendants.
And people are like, oh, that didn't happen. What? The dad did not happen? People need to actually realize that they should have had conversations back then that it should have been fixed. It should have been rules set in place that we would not lead to this systemic racism.
And that's unfortunately the issue we're at here, is that the foundations of which we are built upon are flawed. And the only way to fix where we are right now is we have to fix that foundation. And that is terrifying. That is anxious filled. That is stressful. But until we acknowledge this discomfort, acknowledge this fear, and acknowledge the flaws and the cracks in the foundation, nothing is going to be fixed. We cannot continue to pass on this broken foundation to future generations.
Because the foundation was built on slavery.
100%.
Yes. And people don't want to admit that. The White House built by slaves.
And at the end of the day, money was always more important to these men than the progress of the country and the safety of its citizens. Much like today.
Is it?
How the money of Karens is more important to certain companies than the safety of their employees.
Oof.
I feel that people need to understand this country is ever-changing. It is a living body itself.
Agreed.
It is always ever-changing. It has not been the same when I was
born. The Constitution is ever-changing. It is a living document, people need not forget that.
I went and saw the Declaration of Independence, the original one.
Yes.
It is beautiful as fuck, but it is also a living, breathing thing.
It is a living, breathing document.
The country was not the same when my mom was born. The country was not the same when I was born. The country was not the same when Buttmeister was born. Correct. The country was not the same when you were born. The country was not the same when Frida and Tesla were born.
Well, GLaDOS is an AI. She wasn't really born. She was programmed, but... Yeah.
Don't tell her that, and she's gonna gain
sentience.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
See, she's already trying to finish the conversations that are coming out. People need to understand that it is not the same since the founding fathers.
No.
Which means that the rules, the laws, and the shit that was written when we had the founding fathers need to evolve and change with the country itself. That's why the Constitution is a living document.
The whole reason that we have the Bill of Rights about the right to bear arms is because we had to go ahead and revolt against the oppressors that we had. You shouldn't have to own arms now.
You should have your own bear arms. It's fine. Everyone can have bear arms. It's whatever. Sorry, no, that was
a bad pun, but it was a good effort.
B-A-R-E or B-A-E-R?
See, I'm specifically visualizing somewhat like someone having bear arms hanging up on their wall.
Once again, B-A-R-E or B-A-E-R?
He's not speaking of cleanly, freshly waxed arms, but rather incredibly furry and sometimes adorable paws stuffed into honey pots.
So an animal's arms.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Thank you for clarifying.
I think that was his pun.
I think you've been dabbling with the AI too much, man. I'm just going to say that out there. So this is the first we've never really reviewed a play for
intents and purposes, this is a movie.
Now it's on the way to be because Len sold the rights to Disney he could make a movie.
As presented on Disney Plus, it is a movie. It is a cinematic version of a musical, but...
I know, but I want to see an actual, history with the same characters.
Okay, hold on.
So you mean HBO's John Adams?
Yes, but with Lin-Manuel and Miranda.
So drunk history.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So bear with me. Lin recorded his own show. The recording happened in 2016, mm-hmm. right? That's his recording, his rights, he owned it. He sold the recording of the stage production, not movie rights,
no.
Not Hamilton rights. He sold the recording to Disney.
So they could buy it, so he could make money, so he could put the toward doing
it. Hang on. You're getting ahead of yourself.
I don't know if that's where he's going with it. Can I say that the reason he sold these show recording rights, he sold the recording of the show, is because this is one of the first few times that a major Broadway production has had the Broadway walls stripped down. This is not a film adaptation of a musical. This is not a...
This isn't Tom Hooper's Les Mis.
And this isn't one sole camera sitting in the middle of an auditorium filming a stage audition. No, this is a movie production. It is a incredibly well-recorded stage production of Hamilton in a movie format. And... there's a lot of firsts within Hamilton, but with this being released, this is a first for Broadway. When Lin started writing Hamilton and saw how expensive the tickets were getting, he specifically set aside seats for minorities and people who could not normally access theater programs. When he saw how obnoxious, how hard it was getting to see Hamilton, he decided, fuck it, we're going on tour. He went to Puerto Rico to do the show, to raise funds after Hurricane Maria. Len has always had a stance of Broadway has been not just whitewashed, but has been essentially blocked off to those unable to view it and to see it. And that's what this recording, that's what this release establishes, is a first in Broadway history of a mainstream Broadway production being aired for the public. Yes, not general public, because you still have to pay for Disney Plus, but it starts his, Len's main fight of breaking down those walls of Broadway, making it more accessible, making art, theater, music more accessible to those who do not have the privilege of living in New York or the privilege of spending a 2 weeks worth of vacation time to go see 1 2-hour show. He broke that wall. And I don't want to see a movie production of Hamilton. I want this to be the starting point for other Broadway shows.
What happens if he directs it and he writes it?
I trust him to do what he will. I just personally don't see him making that decision.
It doesn't need to happen. This is already the show in its perfect form. It doesn't need a movie release.
And I'm not saying that he can't do it. I trust his decision with it. I think that because of his stance of making art more accessible to others, there might be other plans up his sleeve. I don't know what they are. But I just see him potentially using it to go towards maybe a different direction, not the mainstream movie.
Aaron Burr, the sequel musical we never thought we were going to get?
Oh my God, please. Oh my God, please. Please.
And then just have Alexander Hamilton haunt him.
He's still haunting him.
Yeah.
See, I just want the sequel musical Everybody Hates John Adams.
Okay, yeah, no, I think I'm more on that train, actually.
I just want a sequel just completely destroying John Adams. I don't want the HBO series John Adams, because that's a good series. However, if you want a really good chuckle, after you listen to the King George, I know him. It's that little guy that spoke to me all those years ago. Go watch the clip of Paul Giamatti's John Adams quivering and shaking talking to King George. It's quite hilarious.
Like I said before, we've never reviewed a play, from Broadway, on this before. So, the rating system here is still going to be the same. Full gem, an amazing play. Half gem, an alright play. No gem, a horrible play. So where would you give this?
You get one, not both, because I want the other one. I know you. I know what your answer is. You get one, not both.
Oh, well, then on that point, GLaDOS, here. You go first.
All right, then I'm going to go with a diamond in the rough. Come on.
The shiny piece of coal trying to reach my goal. My powers beach unimpeachable. Yeah, so you know how we said Aladdin, the movie, was definitely not a diamond in the rough?
Yeah.
This is. This is a whole gem. This is a shiny.
Oh, yeah.
This is a shiny piece of coal. Trying to reach his goal.
This is one of my this is a good one. Still, my favorite Broadway play is probably Avenue Q.
I have yet to see that one.
If you could get the cinematic quality treatment that this got with any musical,
it would either be Avenue Q or Book of Mormon.
Ooh.
Yes,
because
yes.
I've seen Spamalot 3 times by 3 different production companies, so I don't need to see that live.
That's where I'm at with Wicked, essentially. If I hadn't already seen Wicked 3 times, I'd be like, do Wicked, but no.
But see, the other thing about it is that when I saw, the first time I saw, it was a traveling Broadway production company. I was like, oh, that's good. Then I saw it again on the same tour. Then when I saw it the third time, it was a local production company that did it, but they also incorporated Monty Python into the actual show. I absolutely loved it. I laughed more at that than the actual play.
See, the frustrating thing about trying to get Broadway more accessible to more people is that certain directors, Broadway directors have been releasing and recording their stuff, releasing it basically to the public or on DVD for a while. Stephen Sondheim pretty much recorded most of his biggest works, Into the Woods and Sweeney Todd, the original Broadway cast, have recordings, which is why you can go back and watch all the reasons why Angela Lansbury is infinitely better than Helena Bonham Carter as Mrs. Lovett.
Yeah, I mean, Helena Bonham Carter is only good in some roles that she does, not all.
Helena Bonham Carter is very good in a certain type of role, and Tim Burton thought that Mrs. Lovett was that role, and it's not.
Yeah. But one against her best role is probably...
Bellatrix Lestrange.
No, I was going to say David Fincher's...
oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, what's her character in that one?
I'm blanking on the name, but I know what you mean.
Fight Club.
Yes. Yes. The girlfriend in Fight Club. Completely insane.
But I give it a full gem, but without the hype.
And that's fair.
I agree with that. I agree with that completely. And look, to our beloved cinemaniacs.
I'm a theater nerd. Sorry.
Same. I'm a theater nerd. I'm a music nerd. I'm a bit of a history nerd as well. I got that from my dad. like they're not already used to random noises by their microphone.
What in the world?
We're just going to do some little asthma.
Stop, no, there are some people that do not like that.
I like how the Honorable Tussle and Fantastic Frida, are just one of them is out. Like, what? And the other one's
Frida's,
like,
Frida, are you okay?
Passed out.
She's like, what? I was asleep.
I'm awake. I'm listening. I'm okay. Here.
Look, all our lovely Cinemaniacs, if this is your first time watching the show,
watch it.
Love it.
What are they watching?
Like us,
Hamilton.
Oh, okay. I thought they were filming. I was like,
No.
They're filming in here?
If you're like
I got
us,
duct tape over this camera. How are they filming it?
If you're like me and you've been in love with this show and the concept of it and the music for years, and you get a chance to sit down with a bunch of people who've never seen it before who are walking into a completely blank slate, first off, can I tell you how jealous I am for people walking into this completely blank slate, no preconceived notions, no knowledge of the script or anything? They get to experience it for the first time with all the emotional impact that it deserves. Please don't ruin it for them, is what I'm saying. Don't ruin the surprise for people who have never seen it before. Let them experience it for the first time. If they don't like it, they don't like it. It's okay. It's okay for this to not be certain people's thing. But give
and
them the chance.
And don't hound them for it. Right. Don't hound them for not liking it.
Just like I don't hound people for not liking Star Wars. It's okay. It's not everyone's
your opinion.
Thing. Look, the things that we talk about on Cinema Gems, in terms of movies and TV and video games, are all subjective. Black Lives Matter. That's not subjective. That's objective. That is objective fact.
That's a fact.
I was about to say, everything we talk about on the show is subjective. No, there's a few things that are objective fact. Black Lives Matter. Queer Lives Matter. Those are facts. But it's okay if you don't love Hamilton. If you love Hamilton, don't ruin the surprise for people who are experiencing it for the first time. That's what I wanted to say.
Also, guys, like we said, this is being recorded early, so we're just going to take about 30 seconds to go ahead and talk about all the news that we're going to react to now. So all the news. Wow, can you believe what that person said? Oh my gosh.
Wait. Before we get into the news, we have to do the news thing. We have to do the...
News.
Yes, we haven't done that in so long.
I was like, what? I didn't see that, but y'all can talk about it.
I can read Glaz's handwriting.
No, y'all can talk about it. I didn't see it. But before we go in, can you believe what that person said? Oh my gosh. What is going on right now?
Who got canceled on Twitter this week?
Oh no! Do they need to get verified and fact-checked?
Did anybody see that cute video of the puppy?
Oh my gosh, cats are amazing.
Can you believe that author completely shamed themselves?
Did you see the Karen temper tantrum?
Did you see that Stephen King is just trolling J.K. Rowling? Sorry, that'll never not be relevant.
Yeah, agreed.
And oh my gosh, we're in the middle of July now.
Surprise,
yeah.
I'm grinning at the microphone, but they can't see that.
It's an empty grin, though. There's a grin, but behind that grin is the face of, oh god, what the fuck is coming next?
You mentioned J.K. Rowling, and I'm not going to get into everything she has gotten herself into over here. Listeners, please do a little bit of research, find out all the shit that
J.K.
Rowling
You want a bit of a basic rundown? She does not think trans women are women.
TLDR, she's a TERF. She's a major, major TERF. And for the time being... I've decided that, so I'm about to move into a different place. When I move into that different place, the Hufflepuff flag that I've had hanging in my room for the last several years is going to be retired.
Are you giving a Vikings funeral?
I'm not burning it. I'm not getting rid of it. I'm folding it up and putting it somewhere until, and I'm being optimistic here. I want J.K. Rowling to have the same journey that Drew Brees has had over the last several months of talking to people and listening, and I hope that she can get her head out of her ass and admit that trans people are people. When she does that, I will consider hanging my Hufflepuff flag back up. But until then, it's going into retirement.
But until then, we will hang the Pennywise flag. We will hang any Stephen King flag whatsoever.
I've got my Empire flag and I've got my Pride flag.
There you go. But there is a trailer that you guys want to talk about. I didn't watch it. And I kind of checked out in the middle of the first season. So you guys can go ahead and talk about it if you want.
I'm not going to get too much into the trailer because, you know, the show season one Umbrella Academy ended basically with when are they? Not where are they, but when are they? So I'm not going to get too much into the trailer because I don't want to say anything about it. But the trailer has been released and the season two comes out July 31st.
Woo!
So,
oh my God, this is the same day as when The Muppets Now comes out. It's a conspiracy.
Gerard Way!
It's a conspiracy!
Sugar! No, sorry. That's not wrong person to curse right now. But yeah, I'm very excited for Umbrella Academy Season 2. We just rewatched Season 1.
Yep.
And it's one of those shows that you catch different things every time you watch it.
And it's really interesting. A long, long time ago, when My Chemical Romance was still touring, I was a little fangirl, and I did go to a comic book shop, and I did buy Volume 1 and Volume 2 of Umbrella Academy. I read both of them before I gave them to one of my best friends as an actual birthday present, because it was a birthday present, but I'm going to read the comic before I give it to somebody. Right. I mean, that's right.
As long as you didn't uncreak the spine.
No, the spine was fine. I was very good about it, and they weren't the hardback. They were the softback, so I was, you know, I was kind. Yeah. That being said, with season one going how it went, they've already dabbled into book one and two.
Okay.
So I have no idea what the hell's happening. I had some reference with season one, knowing about Vanya, because she's the cover of the fucking book on volume one, and having to wait until, what, episode 9 or 10 in season one, before you finally get that reveal? So I knew that going in, but now it's, okay, I've read both what happens now? We've already met God. We already saw number 5 was supposed to shoot the assassinator of JFK. Like, we've already seen what's in the comics. I have no idea what's coming next.
All right. I have been reading the Twitter book. I think Hatching a Tweet is what I think it's called.
Mm.
It's very paint-by-the-numbers startup, like, oh, this person did this. Oh, this person did that. Oh, this person is emulating Steve Jobs, and now he's come back to the company. I was like, oh, my God, just end. I have, like, 3 chapters left, and I just want to get it. I want to get it done. I personally think that this is worse than Social Network.
It's so hard the more relevant you're trying to research into a topic because of how widespread information is. That book, I can understand it being paint by numbers because you have so much access to so much information. You know who did what in this company. You know who did what and when and where they were. We have all of this information. So when you're trying to talk about the startup of Twitter, yeah, that's going to get not heavy in tone, but heavy in information.
But the Netflix startup book that they had, that I read a couple weeks ago, I absolutely love.
Same author?
No.
Oh!
See, the author of the Netflix book was done by one of the co-founders of Netflix. This book is written by a third-party New York Times writer.
Okay.
So it's like third-party information.
Which is why you're getting so many different...
And it's like, do I really need to know... Not that I don't care, but Snoop Dogg came in the Twitter offices. That's cool. Do I need to hear 8 pages about what he did in the office? Okay. All right, we're going through. All right, cool.
See, what you're describing to me right now is how I felt reading Twilight back in, like, the seventh grade and getting to the part of he stepped into the sunlight and sparkled. He stepped into the sunlight and sparkled. He stepped into the sunlight and sparkled. Like, I swear, it was, like, every other line in this goddamn chapter. I put down the book and never touched it again. Come at me.
Well, I'm like I said, I have 3 or 4 chapters left, and I'm just going to down them.
I believe in you.
I can't, like, but the other one that I'm going to have do a palate cleanser is... a couple of Doctor Who books.
Ooh.
Because I did one last week. It was the Crotons. It was basically like a Doctor Who episode, but I really enjoyed it. But they basically novelized it, and it was really interesting. So I think I'm going to read 2 of those, and then I'm either going to read history about Operation Paperclip, which is about how we took German scientists from Germany after World War II,
yes,
and subsidize them into our culture.
NASA.
Forgive me, yes. I'm a little upset that it's not about the history of Clippy. I'm sorry. Paper. My bad. That's honest to God where I thought you were going to go with that.
Okay. You have been messing with the AI too much. You have been messing with the AI too much.
No, she just found an AI best friend.
Clippy? Is Clippy your best friend?
Essentially a pet, probably.
I'm not going to distinguish that as AI.
But look, the Adam Patessa is like...
does not qualify as AI.
The Adam Patessa is like, I'm here, you can pet me. But, Alexander Hamilton book. The book that I think Lynn read.
Yeah, Ron Chernow's Hamilton book.
The book that Lynn read and made Hamilton.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to read 2 Doctor Who books and then read that one. But that's also like... think like audiobook wise it's like almost 39 hours, which 10 more hours of that, and that was the It book that I read last. It took me literally all of last summer to read the It novel. That was 50 hours.
You poor thing.
I read the Ron Chernow book back before I worked at the video store or Swapper Jacks via audiobook, and it's pretty good.
Okay.
It's pretty damn good.
The other choice is Leonardo da Vinci.
I don't know. They both sound good.
I think I might do... I'm just going to do 2 Doctor Who books, and then whatever comes up in my feed afterwards, I'm like, all right, cool.
Listeners, Cinemaniacs, if you have any recommendations for quarantine watch list or something you'd like us to talk about or even review...
Or whiskey suggestions.
Or, yeah. Any whiskey suggestions.
Risky whiskey?
You mean... Look, words are hard. I can nail the lines from Hamilton, but I can't speak normally.
English number 1.
It's okay. I never mumble when there's a mic in front of me, but when a person gets in front of me, I'm like,
So you are reverse socially awkward?
Yep. No, I'm actually...
No, that is socially awkward.
He's Radio Rebel.
Excuse you?
He's Radio Rebel.
Oh, shut up. Don't bring that here.
Radio
no.
Rebel.
Y'all are not. No. No. DCOMs do not belong on Cinema Gems.
We have talked about DCOMs on Cinema Gems.
Bullshit. Which
times.
Ones?
I don't know if we've actually reviewed a DCOM.
No. You guys are
Cinemaniacs,
not.
Cinemaniacs, if you'd like us to review your favorite DCOM, please tell us why it's Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off.
We did review one, didn't we?
No, there's no way y'all reviewed a DCOM.
I'm pretty sure we did.
Smart House. Unless it was Smart House. There's no way. You did not do High School Musical. You didn't do anything after 2000.
Who would do High School Musical?
You did not know!
I feel like we touched on one of the Hocus Pocus movies.
No,
that
we
Hocus
did.
Pocus
not
is
Hocus
not
Pocus,
DCOM.
Halloween Town.
Halloween? Ooh, that is a DCOM.
We did. No, we did one. And was it? No! You kept referencing Hunchback of Notre Dame as a DCOM, but it wasn't.
No,
you're right. It's a Disney animated movie,
which
not
is different
a Disney
than
Channel
a Disney
original
Channel
movie.
Original movie. It's the channel that makes it different.
Cinemaniacs, if you have any suggestions, questions, comments, concerns, corrections, please.
I write a lot.
Yes, you do. Yeah, look, the only difference between science and fucking around is writing it down, okay? This is scientific. I'm not going to judge your notes, because my handwriting is worse. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, corrections, tweet at me.
And recipes.
Jesus Christ, Admiral.
What? I'm just
one more time. One more time. You can do it.
One more time with feeling.
Tweet at TheRobear2010 or
Holland Sci-Fi.
And email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com.
Yep. But also, guys, thank you, Marty and the Ergen Zerber, for letting us use your website. Also, Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music. And also, guys, please go to LowRainPictures.com and go check the Year 30 tab. They're amazing, guys. They're really, really phenomenal. Whenever they riffed on us, we deserve it.
100%.
We never riffed on them because they are the gracious gods that allow us to be on their website. And they don't need to be roasted at all. But guys, the other thing we have to say is please, 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 please realize that Black Lives Matter, Queer Lives Matter, and also wear a mask. If you don't like wearing a mask, you're not going to like wearing the ventilator. And guess what? None of your friends can come visit you in the ventilator. You will not be able to watch anything on the ventilator because you will be just on your back. You'll be basically unconscious. It's not a fake. This is not a plandemic. This is a pandemic.
I'm going to give our listeners again the benefit of the doubt and hope that if you're a continuing listener of this show, then you're already taking this seriously. You've already been taking the proper precautions. If you're in a position where you can stay safe at home, you're staying safe at home. If you're like us and you're an essential employee and you have to go out into the public, you're doing everything you can between wearing a mask and having a pocket sanitizer and sanitizing and washing your hands as often as you can. I'm going to give our listeners the benefit of the doubt and say that you're already doing all those things, and thank you for doing those things.
You know, there's one crazy nut that listens to us and thinks we're fake, but still listens to us. You know, there's one. There's one.
I mean, you can think what you want, but...
And you know who that is?
Hmm.
That's Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte listens to this podcast.
If Nick Nolte listened to this show, we made it. In very crazy circles, but
we peaked! We've peaked!
We've made it in very specific, crazy, insane circles.
It only took 5 years and 250 episodes, but we've peaked.
We've found our weird niche.
Yeah.
I love all y'all. Stay safe.
Guys, wipe your hooves and see you later.
Thanks,
bye.
Y'all.
Bye. Happy 250!